interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
1037 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crow Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 1037 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
Happy hump day to you. And it is a hump day Wednesday, April 24 edition of Bumper to Bumper Sports. Touching off live on 1037 The Game. 2 hours of fun ahead of you. Ben Love alongside the famous Clint D. From inside the 237 Roof Studios. Remember, there's no job too big or too small. Just call Lafayette Roofing, 237-7663. Busy day today. A couple of great guests on the 30s. I'll let you know about them momentarily. But I want to start with the Saints, the NFL draft. We are a day away. And yesterday, we played some Mickey Loomis for you. Today, it's time to hear from Sean Payton. And start there, because the Saints are right now slotted at 62. There's been this idea, hey, are they going to trade up? Yesterday, Mickey Loomis said it's hard to use 62 as leverage to trade up. And Sean Payton will start off by telling you right here, they think they can get exactly who they need and somebody that can help right away in the second round at number 62.
When you get 62 players out, a lot can happen, but we feel comfortable that there's going to be a good football player, hopefully someone that we feel like can help us, you know, sooner than later.
A couple more from Sean Payton as we come right out the gate talking Saints and the NFL draft. We welcome your participation as well. 706-0111. Payton here tells you exactly what he's looking for in this year's draft.
I think that you're always looking for depth at offensive line. Kicking game is the first spot to a roster. So, you know, a linebacker that can play in the kicking game. Just hopefully for us, good football players that we have the right vision for, regardless of position. We're going to try to look at the right guys that we feel like at least fit a vision, and then let, you know, everything else take care of itself.
And from Craig Robertson going down and chasing kickoffs, from Tommy Lee Lewis on the receiving end of it, he's absolutely right. Where they're at with their depth, we'd all like to see more game breakers. Do they have the war chest for it? Do they have the picks for it? Do they have the room for it? The answer's probably not. And more likely than not, they're looking at guys, whether it's 62nd overall or later, fifth round or later guys, that are going to serve in a special teams capacity, as well as giving depth, maybe, if you're lucky, platoon work somewhere for the offense or defense. Another cut from Sean Payton. And this is, look, what you'd expect from a team that's in the type of position that the Saints are. A lot of times when you're rebuilding, when you're uncertain, you've had franchise-type players leave, I can understand why you'd be anxious on the eve of an NFL draft. Sean Payton says, not me, not us. I'm a lot more excited.
I don't know. Excited would be a better word, not anxious. Anxious would be more of a word, you know, like before you play a game. But no, there's a lot of work that goes into the reports. There's a lot of work that, you know, scouts and coaches, everyone that's taken the film out, gone to a campus workout, gone to the combine, and maybe seen a player four different times, and then, you know, taking a pen to a paper or on the computer, filling in what they think that player can be for us. So I think for all those people that spend time on that, it's a pretty tedious process, and yet I think it's an exciting time because you're adding to your team.
Again, they're at the point where they have some luxury, don't they? And they don't have to go out and find starters. I think that's one heck of a place to be. One final hit from Sean Payton. It revolves around Marcus Davenport. And I don't know if you could tell, but from the interview with Jeff Duncan yesterday, even he said, look, there were some things that went into that. It took a lot to get it. Is it the best for them? That's the part that's interesting. I try never to gauge actual reaction from fans by Twitter, as Scott Woodward reminded us not so gently yesterday. But there is a movement from Saints fans on Twitter. So as Woodward would say, the 20% down to the 10, down to the 0.2, whatever it is, the lunatic fringe, saying that the Marcus Davenport trade was already bupkis because it leaves you without a first-rounder this year and because nobody saw on the field last year what they hoped for. They didn't get an all-pro right away from Davenport. Had to be a flop for a trade, right? I think that's absolutely insane. The idea that Davenport, who, yes, showed in flashes last year. Yes, he had some mind-numbing penalties. He also dealt with injuries. To declare the Davenport move already, DOA, is D-U-M-B. And here Sean Payton reflects on the trade they made this time a year ago to go up in the first round and to get the big fella, the 6'7 pass rusher from UTSA.
It's hard to measure the value of that trade until you complete the second year, and then, you know, now it you know, would have been, what, pick 29-30. We were real pleased with the ability for us to get up and get Marcus.
I think that's a really good dose of perspective. If you hadn't traded Marcus Davenport, you'd have been thinner last year at pass rusher, playing guys that are a little bit worse, even though longer in the tooth. And this year you'd have pick, what, 29, he said? So maybe that allows you to get somebody like, oh, I don't know, Greedy Williams, who is slipping out of the top to middle part of the first round by all indications. But that's not exactly a need for the Saints. Not the way it was when they went out and got Lattimore a couple of years ago. Not since they really have backfilled that position with a few shrewd offseason moves. Patrick Robinson being one of them. We'll see what a healthy Robinson looks like again this year. But that's good perspective for those that are already crying from the rooftop that Davenport, oh, that trade was a flop last year. Get out of here. Ridiculous. I mean, what? You want to have the 29th pick this year? You'd rather that than the future of Davenport? I would not. And Payton says there it takes 2 years to judge a trade. Who am I to argue with Sean Payton? I would think you need a little longer than that. However, he's right in this sense. Today, this year, it all represents the first go-round for Davenport without Alex Okafor as the safety blanket. How's he going to perform when asked to do a little bit more? I don't know that he'll be a three-down player. It's not really the way he's built. But if he's asked to move a little bit closer toward that end, and even on the outright pass-rushing situations, if he could take that next step, that trade will have been worth it. Because the things it'll do, freeing up time and space for Cam Jordan on the other side, your interior defensive lineman, invaluable. It's hard to measure it. So good perspective from Payton when it comes to Marcus Davenport and what the Saints have on the slate this year in the NFL draft. On the other side of our opening break, I'm going to ask you exactly what you think the Saints ought to do with pick number 62. But here's the rundown of today's guests. We only have 2 hours, only 4 to 6 today. Our guests are on the 30s. Lynn Rollins, 4-time Louisiana Sportscaster of the Year, stopping by B2BS at 4:30. We'll talk a lot of LSU baseball. We'll go in on Scott Woodward, what Lynn Rollins thinks of that hire, what comes next in the hierarchy for LSU's athletic department. And Lynn's also going to have the call of the Cajuns this Friday night at home, I believe against Texas State. And so Lynn will have that call with Ronnie Rantz. He'll give us a preview of it. All that coming your way from one of the best speakers on sports in Louisiana. That's at 4:30. At 5:30, our man Kurt Heelan, pro basketball talk, represents for NBC Sports. He'll stop by halfway past 5 o'clock. Damian Lillard set the world on fire last night, and he did it cool, calm, and collected. And then he waved bye-bye to the Oklahoma City Thunder. We'll discuss that, the Warriors, the Pelicans, a lot to get into with Kurt Heelan, his thoughts on David Griffin. Again, that's at 5:30. We'll be right back in. Time to get interactive. It's Bumper to Bumper Sports. Having some fun on a hump day on 103.7 The Game.
Winners eat nachos at a ball game and snag a foul ball barehanded without getting a drop of cheese on their shirt. Winners ride home with Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Yeah. Yeah, we're draft heavy, leading off on a Wednesday, but I have something too good to neglect. We got to get to this in hour number one. Bumper to Bumper Sports, right back in. Ben and Clint bringing you home on a hump day on 103.7 The Game. You'll recall last Thursday, while out at the Taproom River Ranch, Ted Scott graced us with his presence. Love talking PGA Tour shop with the guy who's been on the bag for almost two decades. As of late, he's been on the bag for Bubba Watson. And there's hilarious video. It emanated on Twitter. Scott Woodward, don't be mad at us. We're going to talk about sports and Twitter for another second or two here. But there's a great video that Ted Scott posted. If you have a chance to go see it, you should. And it's a little bit of warm-up practice round action, right? Everything begins tomorrow, the Zurich from New Orleans. And there's Bubba just bombing from the left side with driver and J.B. Holmes taking what can only be described as like Happy Gilmore-style wax with the iron, just one after another, and just feverishly crushing them. It's very funny. Speaks to maybe some of the difference of their styles. And it got me thinking, when we had Ted Scott aboard last Thursday, he forewarned us. Not only is Bubba playing in the Zurich, he's playing with a guy he's got great familiarity and usually has a great time with.
Yeah, we're definitely playing. We're playing with J.B. Holmes. We played with him a couple years ago and had a top 10. And we're looking forward to it. We were his President's Cup team partner before in Seoul, Korea. So that'll be a lot of fun watching two guys that can smash it. But it's a really cool event. One, you know, the New Orleans tournament, the people that run it, they're great. You know, they have that southern hospitality that we like, and everybody feels welcome. And, you know, they have at the winning putt, they have the band come out, the marching band come out and play Mardi Gras music. So it's a lot of fun. But the coolest part about the event is it's a team tournament on the PGA Tour, and it's you know, alternate shot one day, and then it's best ball, you know, another day, and then it alternates again doing the same thing on the weekend. So it's a totally different format, something that people don't get to see. And it's really fun to see two guys pair up and try to beat the rest of the twosomes out there in that kind of format. So, you know, I think everybody loves it. It's growing in attention. You're starting to get more and more top players that want to play in it because it's a lot of fun. And it's a break from the hustle and bustle of, you know, the lonely deal that we have out there, you know, battling against 144 guys every week.
And if synergy counts for anything, yeah, I think the collective teamwork of J.B. Holmes and Bubba Watson, well, it'll count for a lot per Ted Scott there and the video that he dropped today. Again, check it out if you get a chance on Twitter. Those guys are having an awful lot of fun in the Big Easy, and why not? This is a tournament unlike, as you heard Ted Scott say, just about any they participate in. All right, we let you hear from Sean Payton. The Saints are not slated to draft tomorrow. They are on Friday, but just once at 62nd overall in the second round. It's time that we go on the record. It's time that we discuss positionally where the Saints should go on Friday. I'll ask the question right after the music.
Love, exciting and new.
Your Sink or Swim question of the day: which position should the Saints draft with the 62nd overall pick? I'm going to give you four options. Again, this helps our social media people. They don't like the open-ended. Number one, O-line. Number two, D-line. Number three, wide receiver. Number four, other. Explain. And you better believe that if you go other, I want to know what you think is not only more important, but makes sense with the 62nd overall pick. For example, pretty good point by Glenn Gilbo, the Daily Advertiser, when he brought up the idea recently that Cole Tracy, somebody not to forget about in this draft. Now, he didn't mean it in terms of the Saints, but it's a good point. Kickers are people too, just not second-round people by and large. But if you go other, I want to know what you're thinking. So where should the Saints go positionally at 62? O-line, D-line, receiver, or somewhere else? I'm expecting some interaction. Yesterday, we went 2 hours, didn't have a single call. That just tells me that cell service was down in Acadiana. Today, holler at us quickly. 706-0111. CD, which way should they go?
I think they have to go offensive line. I think more specifically, I'd like to see him try and go towards a center because I feel like I'm not necessarily sold on either of the guys they have. And that's not a dig at Will Clapp. I feel like Will Clapp needs another year or so to develop to really show me that he can be worthwhile. And if you can get a guy who's like a guard or a center, I know that's definitely the trendy pick when you look at the offensive line. I think if you want to get somebody at 62, I think an offensive lineman is the way you should wind up going, because that's probably a position you need to focus in on to be able to protect your biggest investment in Drew Brees.
Will Clapp, going to be a second-year pro. Yep. Cameron Tom, that's the name that I butchered yesterday. Knew that he went to Catholic in Baton Rouge, knew that he went to Southern Miss. Just, you know, complete sleepwalk when it came to finishing the name up there with Billy Embody. Those are the two guys you got. And you also add in, what, Nick Easton, who came over from the Minnesota Vikings. I'll say this plainly and bluntly. I get that Cameron Tom is from Baton Rouge and that Will Clapp is from New Orleans. And those make great stories. I'd rather a great center. And I hope, like Clint said, that one of those guys can be just that. I'm not ready to bank on the fact that they will be, or, more importantly, that they are. And with Nick Easton, boy, it's just not at all inspiring. What, 8 years that he spent in Skull Country playing for the Minnesota Vikings? I just think they need better there. They've got a lot of great depth there. I want a starter, and I want somebody at 62 that's got a chance to come in and be really good right now. Clapp was a speculative pick. Tom was a speculative pickup. I want somebody there right now. And so a lot like the LSU administration / Louisiana government, we need to be in lockstep here. And I am with Clint. I think it has to be offensive line. If it's going to be something else, I'll accept D-line. I just think they did a pretty darn good job of shoring that up so far in free agency. I get that that means that you don't stop there. And I think at least one of their fifth through seventh round picks will be spent along the defensive line. But I'd rather put a premium on offensive line. And I also am not completely sold yet that you're getting more than 12 games. I'll put it there. Maybe I'll set the over-under at 11.5. Will you get 11.5 games over-under? Could be sink or swim, pardieu. From Teron Armstead. These are fair questions. You need offensive linemen. The more versatile, the better. And I think that's why a lot of people were excited about the cat. What was it? Rick Leonard's out of Florida State last year. Didn't last long enough. Wasn't good enough to make the 53-man. Saints don't really have that much room to spare. But here's hoping, and really here's thinking, that they will be able to find that guy at 62 overall. So I am swimming like the English Channel on offensive line. If you agree, let me know. If you disagree, I really want to hear from you. Because the best player available syndrome, it could potentially be a dangerous one for the Saints at 62 overall. If best available is running back, and you feel like, okay, we got some goods with Latavius Murray, maybe we need a little more to augment AK-41, I'm just not sure that's where you want to bulk up. So BPA, best player available, I'm not sure that I'm for it in this case. Then again, in Jeff Ireland, I trust would be my motto. Let's get out to the ARDCO Equipment Hotline. Frank, I don't know if this is too easy for you, but I do want to hear what you have to say.
Well, it's almost like you and Clint were sitting on top of my brain reading all my thoughts as they passed through.
That's scary.
I think Clint's spot on in his assessment. I think you are as well, but I would also add a caveat. If they can't find a center, definitely get somebody worthwhile being on the left side, left guard, left tackle, what have you. Just because Breeze has got to be protected, as Clint alluded to. He's your number one investment. You can't have him hurt.
I can't get the mental image of Clint and I sitting on your brain out of my head either. But I'm right there with you. It's got to be O-line. I will play devil's advocate. If you had to pick a different position, where would you go?
They did such a good job in the offseason. I don't know if I could go anywhere else. I'm not sold on that running back they picked up. That would maybe be a question mark, because they will feel the loss of Mark Ingram. Somewhere, maybe the first four games, they're going to feel it, because this new guy they picked up, he's got to get acclimated just like everybody else. So if I had to hazard a guess, I would maybe say running back, but that's a far stretch.
All right. No, fair enough. Frank, you know we appreciate it. Enjoy your Wednesday.
You too, Ben.
See, look at that. I led off with too easy, and he didn't sign off with it. I stole his thunder. Don't I feel like a horse's backside? We got time for more. 706-0111. Get him in while you can. Lynn Rollins hopping aboard in about 6 minutes. Malcolm Brown. I've been alluding to him for the last few shows. Haven't said his name. So there, I said it. Malcolm Brown. The cat they went out to get. D lineman from the Patriots. I think has a chance to be a stud. for the Saints. I mean, he was that after becoming the 32nd overall pick in the 2015 draft for Bill Belichick and the Pats. This guy, I'm not telling you that he'll negate the importance of Sheldon Rankins once he's able to play again. He returns from injury. I'm just telling you that Rankins may fall in line behind him once he does return. That's all. You need the depth. You want the depth. They'll both play. I just think Malcolm Brown will end up being the better player of the two. And that's saying something. I'm acknowledging that that's saying something because Sheldon Rankins in spurts last year was one of their best defensive players. I've just got a lot of respect to Malcolm Brown, who comes from the Texas Longhorns, proven in Bill Belichick's system. And you'll notice that I said he was a 2015 draft pick. Let me translate that for you. This isn't some old fogey that the Pats got rid of because they thought he was past his prime and they can get over on some franchise. This is a guy who might be entering the prime of his career. And you're going to put him in the middle of Cam Jordan and kind of going full circle from our first segment. What we alluded to is probably a developing Cam Jordan. I love that possibility. So some will say D-line is a focus of this draft. I say you're probably not going to get a guy that sticks on your roster if you draft a defensive lineman. That's just my two cents.
And I have to agree with you. I think it definitely is going to be a big thing. You brought up Sheldon Rankins. Who knows what kind of condition he's going to be in for the start of the season. He's coming off that Achilles injury. I think that's definitely something I feel like a lot of people were overlooking a little bit. Even I was until I wound up looking up, kind of seeing what was going on with Sheldon Rankins and getting his fifth-year option.
Hopefully not Shaq in October type of shape. That would be preferred.
Exactly. Like I said, not that, but like I said.
Maybe not even Shaq in December.
Yeah.
We'll take Shaq in, like, May, building toward the playoffs.
Exactly.
Basically now-ish. We'll take Shaq now-ish.
Exactly.
From the time that he played in the association. And speaking of now-ish, I need to hit a break. But don't forget, Lynn Rollins on the other side. It's one of my favorite interviews. Anytime we could pry him away from the Sinlaw area, excited to bring Lynn back on our program. LSU, UL baseball, plus a little LSU AD talk with our guy on the other side. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, and we'll bounce right back in on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.
Debates never go out of style on Bumper to Bumper Sports.
Well, I had never thought of it that way.
But feel free to be right anytime you're ready to start on 103.7 The Game.
Right back in and right to one of our favorite guests of the program. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, and we're live bringing you home on 103.7 The Game. Time to get out to the ARDCO Equipment Hotline, and we bring aboard a Louisiana Sports Hall of Famer, Lynn Rollins. Lynn, how are you this afternoon?
I suspect you tell that to all your guests.
Only a select few, although I must be honest, those few of you are usually Louisiana Sports Hall of Famers. I won't lie to you, we say that about Yvette Girard every single time as well, but you probably get that.
Yeah, I get that. I just wanted to make sure that I was in exclusive company, truly, and not just that generic phrase.
No, rarefied air. There's no question about that. LSU baseball.
I'm having trouble breathing as we speak.
The Tigers pick up a win last night in the midweek, beating Lamar. They're now 27-15. They're I think plodding along pretty well. You would say an SEC play, but with all the injuries to the pitching staff, they've had inconsistency there. Inconsistency, injuries at the plate. Are you getting a feel of a team that is set to make a run come tournament time?
You know, a little bit. There are some gaps that still need to be filled, and you're absolutely right about the pitching staff. Fortunately for LSU, it was deep enough to withstand some of the injuries, but there are five guys right now that LSU was counting on in mid-February to be major contributors who are not available at all, and a couple more coming back and still on limited duty, kind of trying out, so to speak, as they come back from injury. So that's been a major problem. The inconsistency has been a major problem. Walks have been a major problem, although that's getting better in the last two or three weeks. If you want to look at history, Paul Menary's teams over the last month have done very well. They've had great success in the SEC tournament, as you know. And so would I count this team out? No, I would not. But are there some still major gaps and chasms to overcome? I think so. And one thing, Ben, that LSU must do, and that's find a way to win on the road. They have been a very poor road team the last 2 years. If I'm not mistaken, there's been only one road series victory in the last two seasons, and they're 4-10 on the road this year. So that's something that's got to improve as you play away from Baton Rouge.
Your broadcast partner on CST, Ronnie Rantz, when asked about some of the issues LSU pitchers have had, arm fatigue and whatnot, he's quick to say that sometimes they're not allowed to fight through that. He also says that it's not just an LSU epidemic. You look around the country and it's happened. Mississippi State last year made a run all the way to Omaha despite it. What is your take on Alan Dunn, who's renowned as a pitching coach, and yet LSU seems to be having some of these issues with guys that maybe don't always progress from their freshman year forward? They deal with arm fatigue. Is some of it just coincidence? Is it bad luck? How do you look at it, Lynn?
You know, that's an excellent question, and let me be the first to tell you that I'm not trying to dodge the answer. It's just that I don't know. The same thing has happened to an extent with the Raging Cajuns this year, and Tony Robichaud, in my estimation, is among an elite group in terms of pitching expertise and teaching the craft and the art and the science of pitching at a high level. I don't know. I think your observation about it's not an issue confined to LSU or only a few teams, that's very true. Last night, the Lamar Cardinals out of the Southland Conference had eight pitchers who were unavailable due to injury.
Wow.
And you know, I don't know. It is common that freshmen, as they get into that seventh week, that eighth week, that ninth week, that tenth week, and even postseason, many of them start to back up. They haven't had that many starts in their high school careers. They haven't pitched that many innings in high school. And pitching coaches are very careful in college these days of not overworking their charges. I don't think I can point to a legitimate case where somebody has been overworked. I mean, starters these days go once a week, and that's it. So I don't think it's the frequency of use, but I don't know. I really don't know. I think if there were a concrete answer to that, Ben, I would love to bottle it, and you and I would be retired.
I look forward to that day. And we're thrilled to be joined by Lynn Rollins along with Ronnie Rantz. They'll have the call of UL versus Texas State this Friday from the Teague. It'll be on CST. We'll get to the Cajuns momentarily. One more, and this is big picture, Lynn. You've spent a lot of time around Paul Mainieri. And if you consider the last series of months, even back to the dalliance with the Texas Longhorns, most poignantly, lately he lost his father. What are your observations about that man, the post that he holds, and some of the struggles with that job? And he's got so many resources, right? There's so many positives. But in some ways, I would argue that that's a job that comes with even more pressure, even more expectations than LSU football.
I think that case is valid, and when you're preseason number one, and he embraces that, is he happy with this season? No, he's not. He's very frustrated. But I think he's been through these wars, close to 35, 36, 37, 38 years now. He is, without question, one of the best coaches in the history of college baseball. He's certainly among the leading winners active all time, and that total will continue to grow. But I think your point is very well made, and when he, in his preseason press conference, said, "We're glad we're number one, that's where we expect to be," quite frankly, and I'm quoting him, you may recall he said, "I'm surprised we haven't won more than one championship," and that, of course, came 10 years ago. They've been close a couple of times. So he is a guy who understands it, but I agree. I think there is a measure of there's quick disappointment among LSU fans if they don't get to Omaha, and that's not necessarily a bad thing. I mean, that's one reason why those resources are there, because that keen interest is supporting the program. And to me, the Raging Cajuns have their own type of pressure because, you know, it's maybe not known across the country, but it's certainly known in these parts that atmosphere at that ballpark and the attendance that Louisiana draws in baseball is certainly in the top 10 every year and better. and one of the most fun places to watch a game in college baseball.
Your thoughts, Lynn, on the hiring of Scott Woodward and the ever-political world that is LSU athletics and LSU at large?
Well, it is, there are obviously machinations behind the scenes that of which we are not yet aware. I was pleased if a decision were coming to remove Joe Oliva and replace him with Scott Woodward, it came quickly. Obviously, a lot of due diligence was done before one man was relieved of duty and another one was hired within 24 hours. Scott Woodward, by all accounts, is a grand slam home run for LSU at this time in its history. I'm trying to read a lot of assessments of him across the country, and I find them all to be overwhelmingly positive, if not absolutely glowing. He is a guy who's a big deal maker. What he's done at Washington and what he's done at Texas A&M did not come cheaply in terms of raising millions and millions and millions, if not billions, at those two places for facilities, of attracting high-profile and very expensive coaches. And apparently he's a pretty darn good deal maker. I don't think that money is going to be an issue when he sets his mind, and I think he's got the persuasive powers and the background to make it happen with financial donors.
He was relatively, I would say, neutral on the subject of Will Wade yesterday, right? We're 100% behind him. He's
our
coach.
Well, he's got to be. I mean, if you're in his situation, what do you say? I mean, he's apparently he's not had a personal, hey, where are we in this situation, talk with Will Wade. And I'm not sure that if he weren't the AD 6 weeks ago when this stuff broke, what would he have done differently? I mean, what choice did Joe Oliva have?
I agree.
You know, I mean, there's very – I don't know that any athletic director – you got two choices, right? You either say he's our guy, right or wrong, or you say we didn't get a chance to ask direct questions of our coach. We, you know, and we're going to have to suspend it. I mean, that's about it. Well, and you hope the time will work it out.
Lynn, I guess I would ask you this, and there's no way of knowing the answer, but I'm just curious your overall – opinion, having covered Dr. Mark Emmert while he was in Baton Rouge, knowing that he's the president of the NCAA, knowing that he is friends, close personal friends with Scott Woodward, does that help
well,
LSU's
not only
case
friends,
with Wade?
I mean, family.
Right. That's true. Yeah, the marriage of the kids. But does that help LSU's case to keep Wade in your estimation?
Well, you know, coming from Louisiana's political background, I guess the assumption would be yes, it can't hurt. Quite honestly, I would hope that all of that would be independent, and whatever investigation, if any, comes of this, and apparently, I mean, we're seeing allegations flying all over the place in a federal trial about major players from major programs, many of them in football and other sports, were the recipients of ill-gotten money, and I'm hoping the NCAA finally exercises universal control and jurisdiction over this, strengthens itself, pulls the belt a little tighter, and says, "All right, enough's enough," and turns over every rock. That is my wish as a college sports fan, someone who is still naive enough to believe that it should be a level playing field and that there should be no sacred cows.
Well put. And we're coming down the stretch with Lynn Rollins, four-time Louisiana Sportscaster of the Year, good enough to join us on 103.7 The Game. We mentioned you've got the Cajuns, Texas State, you and Ronnie Rance in Lafayette Friday. Your takeaways from calling the Pontiff Classic game and looking at UL this year, what do you think?
Well, I'm honestly a little surprised because I thought maybe the win over LSU by the Raging Cajuns in the Pontiff game would be a kickstart. But since then, UL has lost, what, four consecutive games and given up 32 runs, I believe, and it's gone. You know, it's not gone well as the Cajuns try to get back in the upper division of the Sun Belt Conference. I will say that I'm very impressed with Hayden Cantrell And I know that he's hitting over 400 against Sun Belt Conference pitching. Todd Lott is having a heck of a year. But the ERA of over 5 against Sun Belt Conference hitters is not something that's usual for Tony Robichaux. And gosh, you know, usually the Cajuns, if they don't lead the league by a wide margin in ERA, they're in the top second or third. So this has not been a year that the Cajuns have pitched well. And it's shocking to me that no regular starting pitcher for the Cajuns has a winning record. And the opposite can be said of Texas State, that their four major starters are 19-9, and they're bringing a 7-game winning streak into Lafayette, with a 12-6 record in the league and a 28-13 mark overall. And they play well on the road. They're 10-5 away from home this year. So, it's going to be a challenge, but this is when it needs to be done with four series left in the league.
Lynn, before we let you go, we got to talk Louisiana Sports Hall of Fame. And Ronnie Rance has told us, not this Sunday, but next, begins a great 2-day stretch in Lake Charles. But, look, we're not far at all, as you know, from the festivities this summer in Natchitoches. Give us your take on what's coming and then how excited you are to welcome in a new class to join you.
Well, it's certainly a very high-profile class led by Peyton Manning and Les Miles and others that maybe are not as much of a household name, but in their own right, they reach those levels of expertise. A 5-time Olympian volleyball player. There's only been, what, 2 or 3 athletes in the history of the Olympics that have been in that many Olympics. But it's been moved up a couple of weeks. It's the first. It starts on the 6th, 7th, that weekend of June, which I personally like. And it's going to be a heck of a deal. If you're interested, there's a bowling tournament in Alexandria. There's a private brunch with Hall of Famers that you can do. There's a Rockin' River Fest on Friday night. Of course, the State Farm Insurance induction ceremony is Saturday night. That culminates the festivities. But there's no question in my mind that this will be the biggest and the best, and not only because of the participants, the Hall of Famers, but the way this has been organized and reworked over the last couple of years under Ronnie Rance's leadership, and a lot more opportunity to get close to these people. And it's a grand weekend. It really is. If you're a sports fan, it is a destination weekend in Natchitoches.
Always love listening to your call of live sports games, Lynn, and it's a lot of fun we do this, isn't it? You know, I appreciate you coming on, but this really is fun for me.
Well, likewise. I much appreciate the approach, the way you handle your business in Lafayette and your expertise in a lot of areas. And believe me, it's not a sacrifice on my part. It's the best part of my day today.
Well, we'll run it back sooner than later. That I can promise, and we'll be seeing you at the Louisiana Sports Hall of Fame events. Thank you, Lynn.
Thank you for the opportunity to chat today.
How awesome is that? And good enough to stay with us here for going on about 15 or 16 minutes. That means I need to go on to a break. We'll be back. Take your call. 706-0111. Phone lines wide open until Kurt Heelan joins us to talk pro basketball playoffs at 5:30. You're dialed into Bumper to Bumper Sports, and this is Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.
This show won't protect your quarterback or cover downfield,
but it's got animal control down pat.
Oh, if you see a possum, try to kill it, okay? It's not a pet.
Back to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
Here we go, back for more. It's B2BS. That's Bumper to Bumper Sports to you on 103.7 The Game. Ben and Clint, and we'll take a phone call. Hell, it's been since Monday. What's going on, Acadiana? 706-0111. Oh, Clint, how could I forget? He's wagging his finger in my face like Mutombo. You're right, we spoke with Frank about 30 minutes ago. Frank, I promise it was memorable for me. That's on me. Drop the ball there. We got time for more. 706-0111. Pretty awesome from Lynn Rollins. And my background as an interviewer, a question asker, somebody who has become fairly proficient over the years at getting information, emotion, and real tidbits out of people, anytime somebody starts to answer your question before you finish it, you've got something they're interested in, something they've got real feelings and emotion on. And I noticed that. You probably did too, didn't you? When Lynn jumped in right in the midst of the Will Wade question, I said Woodward really was fairly neutral on Will Wade. Boom, he's got to be. I agree. Lynn also said, who else would have done anything different with Will Wade in terms of the suspension? And while many of you disagree, I don't think Oliva had any other choice. And I know, since the emails come out, Freedom of Information Act and such, that he was instructed to do so by F. King Alexander. But not suspending Wade way back when, boy, that opened things up to a very, very dangerous portal that you don't want to go through. But I thought that it was telling. When Lynn, and just remember this, when anybody jumps in before you've answered, finished asking a question, you've got their attention. That's one with a little meat on the hook. I've got more thoughts on the interview with Lynn Rollins, but if you're calling, hey, we're taking. We're getting back out to the Ardco Equipment Hotline. Tommy, thank you for waiting. Welcome aboard.
No problem. How are you today?
I'm doing well, thanks.
How blessed are we to live in this state with the athletic programs that we have surrounding us, the talent they have, and even the media people. And I'm not always a media guy, with the exception maybe one afternoon guy in Lafayette. But in all seriousness, tremendous interview. I mean, the guy was very upfront, forthright, plethora of knowledge, and great to listen to, and not a bad job on the questions either.
Look, he's one of my idols, and I don't mind sharing that. I've told him that when he was going into the Louisiana Sports Hall of Fame last year, he got there early, right, to the hall. And I was doing my show, and he came in for what was kind of prescribed to be about a 15-minute interview. Then he did a lap around the hall, museum, came back and said, you mind if I sit in for an hour? No, I mean, hey, that'd be great. That'd be great, Lynn. So, I mean, he's just as giving as you would ever hope for somebody in his position. So, look, he's somebody that a guy like me would aspire to be. There's no question.
Well, stick around a while, but bring him back in the meantime.
No, there's no question. We'll bring you back occasionally too, Tommy. We got time for more. 706-0111. That's why I love having people like him on as well, is he's not beholden to whoever the institution is. I mean, the guy called, he just referenced Southland Baseball a little while ago and talking about Lamar, and he didn't just pull that out of his rear, okay? He knows that because he calls Southland baseball games, right? I mean, his purview with CST and some of the assignments he gets, Southland, Southeastern Conference, Sun Belt, you better believe. And you're damn right that he knows all of them. So the guy is just incredibly knowledgeable, but he's not beholden to them, and so he'll speak his mind, to Tommy's point, and he'll tell the truth. So, yeah, when I introduced him about 25, 30 minutes ago, I said he's one of our favorite guests. That wasn't blowing smoke. He is. And I believe he just displayed exactly why. All right, we're just about halfway home in today's episode, but we've got to write a passage here. Before we finish hour number one, how about one final word?
What's up, Acadiana? I'm Gabe Broussard from Strange Theories and Season 11 of The Voice. It's almost 5 o'clock. Now it's time for the final word of the hour, and it's presented to you by me and my family at the Village Station. We are your final stop to fill up your stomach and your tank when you're heading home on Maurice Avenue. Now, here's Ben. His voice is pretty nice, but I don't think he could ever make two chairs turn.
Efficient. And Paul Maneri used that word last night when describing Landon Marceau. 3 innings. Give up only 3 hits, struck out 1, but the efficiency part, only 31 pitches. Speaking of efficiency, Drew Bianco's 3-run blast in the second was one of only 4 hits that LSU got en route to the 5-3 win over Lamar. And so LSU last night was certainly not prolific, but they were efficient. It's a midweek game. Many of you tune out. Well, doesn't mind. Doesn't matter. They still won, and they did it efficiently. Cajuns, LSU, they'll both take that anytime that they can get it. So efficient, the final word of this hour, and it's brought to you by the Village Station. They're your final stop to fill up the stomach and tank as you head home on Maurice Avenue. And, you know, a funny thought occurred. Postscript to the final word. I guess there's one other reason somebody may butt in on a question you ask. Because you're too damn long-winded. You talk for too long. Hopefully that wasn't the case. But Lynn Rollins, we love you, brother. We appreciate you. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, and we're coming right back in on 103.
We interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
1037 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crow Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 1037 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
We are off and running. Hour 2 of 2 underway. Ben Love alongside the famous Clint D. And you know that means it's Bumper to Bumper Sports on 1037 The Game. Between now and 6 o'clock, we got you, bringing you home from inside the 237 Roof Studios, presented by Lafayette Roofing. Kurt Heelan will be our guest. Pro basketball talk. The guy heads up, NBC Sports coverage of the association. We'll talk NBA playoffs with him at 5:30. We'll throw a little shade late in the hour, and we're bringing you right up until Five Guys Stories and Lies, straight up 6 o'clock. They got an hour today. At 7, we'll join Astro Launch in Progress. I didn't think I would talk Will Wade and LSU a whole lot today. In fact, I knew I would get there ever so briefly with Lynn Rollins, and we did. But there is breaking news, and yeah, cue the Godfather 3. You think you get out, they pull you back in, yada, yada, yada. That's what's happening. Ross Dellinger, Sports Illustrated, SI.com, still as tied in to one athletic program as anyone can be. And yes, you'll notice the AD that many thought he sponged information from is gone. And yes, Ross and his wife have moved to the nation's capital. And the guy is just killing it. But here's your news from within the last hour. The meeting that LSU and Will Wade had a couple of Fridays ago on April 12th, according to Deli, are becoming clear. As part of Wade's reinstatement, the coach made concessions in his contract. Dellinger was able to get this as part of a plea for public records request. There were two amendments to the contract that he agreed to that the school proposed. Number one, this one's interesting. LSU can fire Wade for cause if he is found to have committed level one or two NCAA violations, or if the NCAA infractions committee issues a formal notice of level one or two violations to LSU involving the coach. The second amendment's a lot less interesting, but it's of note. Wade agreed to waive his $250,000 performance bonus, $250,000. Wade agreed to waive that. He contractually earned it during the 18-19 season and also, in the process, agreed not to sue the school if he were fired over NCAA violations. So I'll shoot you straight. I'm still digesting this. It came out during our interview with Lynn Rollins. I'm sharing it with you now, but I think a few things have become clear. That's why the response from Oliva felt robotic and formulaic tied to a contract, because it literally was. And not just the existing contract, but Wade, who sat in with his legal counsel, now involving Stephen Thompson from Chicago. They sat in with LSU, the NC2A, and they laid all this out to bear and hashed it out. And so the part about Wade giving up $250,000, okay, I think that's a show of good faith on his part. The first thing that I mentioned to you is a lot more interesting. I'll take calls on it. You got a question. I'm not Radio Shack, but I'll do my best to have answers. 706-0111 are definitely the most interesting. There we go. Clint, plug me back in. The first part is the most interesting. The idea that Wade acknowledges that if the NCAA comes through and either assesses that I violated to a level one or two degree or serves notice that basically it's on the horizon, LSU could fire him and he can't sue. And I believe that it was pretty clear that the writing was on the wall that the FBI was not going to mandate Wade, for that matter, Sean Miller in Arizona's testimony at this federal trial. And there's been a lot of mudslinging during the trial. I read today where Christian Dawkins' attorney has made a motion that, hold on now, are we sure that Sean Miller shouldn't have to come in because his name again has been dragged out in this mess? But it's interesting, because while the writing was on the wall that Wade wouldn't have to testify, and then presumably the tapes wouldn't be played at the FBI trial, I think LSU still wanted all the assurances that it could get on the NCAA side. They knew that was the only way that this thing could really still turn sour and go south on Wade and the program. Now they've got all the assurances they need. Now you can remove from the equation that whole $10 million elephant in the room. If the NCAA pops Wade, he's gone and LSU doesn't owe him a nickel. You add that together with Scott Woodward taking over as the AD, I think this is about as good as it can get in terms of protection, in terms of limiting your liability and your exposure if you're LSU. Those are things that jump off the page at me immediately. And by the way, all this was done with Oliva still at the helm and Woodward not yet in. Now Woodward has his opportunity to ask questions. Now Woodward has an opportunity to maybe have some real talk with his good friend and, as Lynn Rollins pointed out now, number one, his family, Mark Emmert, at the NCAA. Now they've got a chance to really have conversations. And I told you on yesterday's show, it's my observation that there are two ways that that could go, right? I have no idea which one it is. I'm not breaking news. I don't have insight. I'm just looking at this as a guy with logic and a relative understanding about how things have worked in the past at LSU, and maybe just a connection, right, between Woodward, Emmert, and even Emmert and LSU at this point. And there are two ways it would seem this could go. Number one, there's a lot of dirt. The NCAA knows it. At that point, you would imagine Emmert would suggest to Woodward, boy, you would save some face if you got rid of this guy, and then the NCAA won't have to stay on campus for all of your other programs, which we all know that. Once they're there, they don't just duck their head into one sport. But the other way this can go is the NCAA is not able to provide any information or proof that he did anything, that they aren't getting any of that information now from the FBI, as they would have if Wade was forced to testify, and that the relationship between Emmert and Woodward solidifies the fact that Wade could stay at LSU. So, again, I don't pretend to know how this whole thing is going to unfold. The only thing that I will caution you on is if you're in the camp that believes, oh, he's reinstated, he's LSU's coach, water under the bridge, I think you're incredibly naive. That's all I'm going to say. I think there are a few different ways this can go down, but the latest news from Ross Dellinger is very noteworthy. Wade has waived his $250,000 performance bonus. Maybe more importantly, if he's found to have committed or if there's notice served that he might have committed a level one or two violation, LSU could fire him and he cannot sue. That is interesting. Jason Drotty, who speaks on behalf of LSU in this matter, told Ross Dellinger, and I quote, "This amendment to Will Wade's contract represents a strong commitment by Coach Wade to the integrity of the institution and to his continued cooperation in partnership with LSU. We are pleased we were able to come to this agreement and we move forward, in this process." That makes complete sense to me. Makes complete sense. LSU has covered its you-know-what. And Wade has agreed to come to the middle. The biggest question now, why didn't Wade hire this attorney 5 or 6 weeks ago? Things potentially could have been different, but maybe not so much just for the LSU postseason run. I know that's what a lot of YP, you people out there in listener land, were honed in on. Now, if Wade's there, you could beat Michigan State. Here's the inside scoop. He wasn't making up 17 points in that game. Izzo and a veteran Sparty team took LSU to the woodshed, and they did it early. Wade wasn't changing that result. I know you don't want to hear it. It had to be said on my part. But had Thompson been representing Wade 5 or 6 weeks ago, perhaps it wouldn't have gotten as ugly between the two sides, and maybe it would have been an easier road to navigate, not a divorce so quickly achieved. Or maybe, if I'm using that analogy, a trial separation between the two spouses here. But Humpty Dumpty has been put back together for now. If it's going to go south again, what LSU did today, from what I could tell, is protect itself. Now they're indemnified a little bit. Wade on the other side, if it's going to rain and pour, he's going to be the one that gets wet here. Not so much the Tigers. I don't think that's a bad move. All right, we're going to take our first break of hour number one. I intended to go sports gaming in Louisiana to begin this hour. We'll run that back on the other side. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, and we'll be right back in on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.
we're going back to our regular show, all right?
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
And you're listening to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Live online at 1037thegame.com.
Follow on Facebook and Twitter now
at 1037 The Game.
Not this segment, but next, Kurt Heelan hopping on to talk NBA playoffs. But as we come back in this time around, I've got to remind you of a question and give you a potential answer on a different front that I believe is very, very reassuring. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, and we're right back in on 103.7 The Game. The question to remind you of, hey, it's sink or swim. And about an hour ago, I asked you this: which position should the Saints draft with a 62nd overall pick? I even gave you options. I mean, seriously, this is coloring by number today. Is it O-line? Is it D-line? Is it wide receiver? Or is it other, in which you're going to have to explain yourself? Either way, call in. Let us know. 706-0111. As for that potential answer, well, really, it would be like answering a prayer if you're me. The report came out. I'll give the credit here. Julia O'Donohue for NOLA.com, the Times-Picayune. Last night after our show was over, she reported that Louisiana sports betting clears its first hurdle. First off, may I say, yes. Second off, hallelujah. And I hope it clears as many other hurdles as it needs. Somebody get Bob Moses out here. However many hurdles, just keep clearing them. Let's do this thing. Here's the news. The State Senate Judiciary B Committee voted 3-1 yesterday to approve legislation to permit sports betting in our fine state. Senator Karen Carter Peterson, a Democrat from New Orleans, was the lone vote against it. Boo this woman! She revealed earlier this year that she struggles with a gambling addiction. All right, well, I understand that part, but maybe she should have been immune from getting to vote on this. I'm just going to throw that out there. An alcoholic gets to vote on whether or not you should be able to serve alcohol in certain places. Okay, I'm just going to get off my high horse. This is a politics show. It's a sports show. But if the bill is approved, Louisiana voters themselves, which I like, would be able to determine the fate of sports betting this fall on a parish-by-parish basis. The earliest that sports betting could be in place is January of 2020. Now, this legislation would allow sports wagering on professional and collegiate sports at Louisiana's 4-horse racetracks with slot machines, 15 riverboat casinos, and at Harris Casino in New Orleans, the only land-based casino in the state, because, of course, we're only allowed to have the one. The rest, even though they look kind of landlocked, trust me, they've got it built in to where if they had to float, they could. Literally, that's the law. I've seen it at L'Auberge in Baton Rouge. It's hilarious the way it's been explained to me, but circumventing the law is kind of what Louisiana does. It's been estimated that sports betting could generate anywhere from $40 million to $60 million annually. Bring it to us as quickly as you can. Mississippi is closing out its first year with sports betting. It's produced less than half the tax revenue projected. But again, I'm going to suggest to you that it's just the first year. And so a first necessary hurdle was cleared. That gets me excited. But I'm not overly excited. In fact, I'm not ready to rubber stamp this thing through yet because we're not out of the woods with it. But at least we have a start. Now, I'll connect some dots to yesterday. Speaking of a start, starting his tenure at LSU, Scott Woodward voluntarily and without provocation commented on sports gaming and it seeping into the intercollegiate athletics realm. Whether you want it to or not, it's legal, or it can be in your state. And if this hurdle, the first one that was leapt over yesterday, if we continue to leap over more and we get in our state, I think that LSU's new AD has a fairly open-minded and refreshing approach.
I'm not going to be a proponent of it, and certainly I'm not going to advocate it here with my boss, King Alexander, here, but we have one that's the elephant in the room, and that's gaming and gambling. It's legal in Mississippi, sports gambling. It's here. We better embrace it because people are going to be doing it, and it's saved the NFL, and it might be a savior for our sports. I don't know that, but at least we have to talk about it, and I know the president's in there. And their meetings at the SEC are talking about it seriously. How we do it with integrity. How we do it with protections. How do we do it to keep student athletes from being influenced and to protect them. Because it's here, whether we like it or not. And then, hey, do we embrace it for fan experience? I don't know that, but it could be something that we look at. So
he's not going to advocate it, but he understands he may have to embrace it for the fan experience, or else, get left behind. Again, I'm going to suggest that that's a pretty refreshing and enlightened approach, not advocating it, but accepting he may have to embrace it. You don't want to be the last dinosaur. Eventually, they die off. All right, let's get out to the ARDCO Equipment Hotline. Doc, what you got for us?
Well, I was kind of curious. Did Ross Dellinger offer if it was a strong eight offer for Wade to come back?
That was not part of the report, but the joke is received.
And then my biggest question, I think that I'm curious about this is, so he built this class that we had this year on, I mean, we're assuming less than solid methods. And what does that potentially mean for his ability to recruit talent in the future? I mean, he's a good coach, or is he just a good recruiter that can bring in talent and make him look like a good coach? And I think that's, I don't know if we're kind of curious to see what your take is on that. And I think for as far as the Saints go, I think the Saints need a wide receiver, somebody to just take the pressure off of Michael Thomas, that, you know, maybe they're like a replacement for Ginn or something along those lines.
That's not bad. Doc, as always, you had to know I was going here. It's good to be a part of your 40 minutes of sports consumption this week.
Well, you know, I spend all my time taking care of patients. I don't have all day to listen to
I save lives, Ben.
Sports and talk about that all day long.
I get it. Doc, you're the best.
All right.
And he knew that train wasn't going to be late. God, that's just the best retort of all time. Ben, I'm out there saving lives. I don't have time for your crap. Doc, that's rich. It's also true, so we appreciate you. I want to speak to the Will Wade part. And we got time for more if you want to weigh in. 706-0111. It's a very good question, and it's one people have asked me a lot off the air. We haven't brought it a lot on the air yet. I'm going to tell you the honest to goodness truth. We don't know the answer to that question because Will Wade had some smoke following him from VCU. There's been smoke in Baton Rouge since he's been here. We don't know the answer to that question. Nobody knows if Wade's going to be able to coach without maybe using unscrupulous recruiting methods. Doc was struggling to come up with a phrase that he thought was right. I'll submit that one, right? Nobody knows. If all you've ever done, allegedly, is game the system, can you win without gaming the system? How can we know? How should anybody be able to tell the answer to that? I don't know. What I do know is this. He assembled the best recruiting class that LSU has had since the group that had the killer bees. Blakeney, Sampson, Simmons. And yet his group played infinitely better. That should go to his credit. The part about working out everything with chemistry. Taking those guys, fusing them with returning talent that included, and by the way, he got the best out of Skylar Mays that we've seen since he's been at LSU. Skylar was a better player last year than I just truthfully thought he could be as a collegian. He was fantastic. And so I think credit has to go to Wade, his system, his staff, for developing the talent and getting them to play together at a high level. I mean, 16-2 in the SEC is almost unfathomable for LSU. It just is. So can he coach up talent? Let's even go back to the year prior to that. They had a group that wasn't everything he wanted. He was able to quickly bring in some JUCO, some transfer talent. They went, 9-9 in the SEC? That group in 2017-18 had no business being that good in the SEC. So what I'm telling you is he and his staff and his system deserve a lot of credit. But we don't know the answer to Doc's underlying question. How good will Wade be if it all has to be done on the up and up? We don't know. And people have been telling me that for the last 6 weeks. Especially at places like the Tap Room River Ranch or Rufino's. They say, look, I don't want to call the show, but I'm not sure I agree with some of your takes on Wade. And they say, look, this was his wake-up call. He'll get up off the burners. He'll get up off the cell phone. He's going to do it on the up and up. And then I just look at them and say, well, what's that going to look like? I'm not telling you it's going to be ugly, but I don't know that it's going to be as rosy. It's a really, really good question from Doc. And the answer, if you're being truthful, has to be inconclusive, because how could we know anything different? Has he done anything different? Again, quote unquote, allegedly. But I'm just the kind of guy that thinks where there's often smoke, you know where this is going, right? It's got to be fire. All right, don't forget, speaking of fire, we're heading back out to Ruffino's on the River this Friday, 4 until 6 p.m. Come on, catch the show live. If you never have, you're going to enjoy yourself. We had some guys that came out this week. Heck, we put them on the air. One of them's a Penn State fan. Hashtag we are. We talked a little breaking news on Nittany Lions football. We talked some LSU athletics with another guest. And, of course, one of our favorite guests of all time. Sorry, Lynn Rollins. We do say this about a few people, I guess. But Ruff and Rodri will be in tow as well. Come out and check out B2BS live from Ruffino's on the River this Friday. We'll be in the bar area. They're going to have some appetizer specials for you. We're going to pass a good time together at one heck of a place to celebrate life. Ruffino's on the River, 921 Camellia Boulevard. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports. We'll be right back in. And we're bringing Kurt Heelan with us on 103.7 The Game.
Draft, which of course is coming up tomorrow night. One of the rumors from Philadelphia reports that the Eagles are making available receiver Nelson Aguilar, who has 1 year remaining on his contract. Meanwhile, in Pittsburgh, the Steelers, as expected, extended Big Ben Roethlisberger 2 more years for an extra $68 million. On the ice tonight, 1 hour from now on NBCSN, Game 7 from Washington between the Caps and Carolina. NBA, pair of potential closeout Game 5s, the Rockets will try to finish off the Jazz up 3-1, and then the Warriors will try to do the same. They look to wrap it up at home against the L.A. Clippers. Baseball right now in Oakland, they're in the bottom of the eighth. The A's and the Rangers are tied 5-5. Earlier today, the Cardinals completed the sweep of the Brewers 5-2. Christian Yelich 0-7 in the series. NBC Sports Radio.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
O'Reilly Auto Parts offers O-Rewards points in-store and online. Earn points on everything from replacement parts to tools and accessories. And for every 150 points collected, you'll get a $5 reward. Earn points any way you shop. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Ladies and gentlemen, today's opponents on Man versus Train. At the crossing, we have Rick, a 175-pound frustrated man who's running late for work. And on the tracks, we have Bull, a million-pound freight train that takes a mile to stop. Let's see who comes out on top.
You can't beat a train, so don't try. Stop. Trains can't. Paid for by NHTSA.
This is Steve Sparks with the Houston Astros Radio Network, and you're listening to Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game.
At Merrick, we know dogs are in charge. So our dog foods start with deboned meat, poultry or fish, and because... Sorry.
Coming!
Here's your ducky. And because real whole foods are better for your dog, each Merrick recipe is packed with whole fruits and vegetables. Excuse me.
You want to go out right now? Okay.
Dogs are in charge. Serve them well. Merrick.
Available at your local pet store.
You don't just want a vehicle that looks like the car of your dreams. You want it to sound like it as well. B&M AutoSound and 4x4. The first and oldest 4x4 shop in the Lafayette area. Whether it's a Harley, Jeep, side-by-side, or anything in between. We do everything from high-end stereos to lift kits. Lafayette's unquestioned leader for the kits, rims, tires, stereos, and lights you need to build the vehicle of your dreams. On Jefferson, across from Gidry's Hardware. And at bmautosound.com.
Yeah, so much rhythm. Babysitting your kids while they play the jazziest jazz I've ever heard jazzed is totally fine. But what's actually frustrating is the check you're handing me and the days it will take to clear. Next time, just send me money with Zelle.
Night out better. Pay your sitter easily with Zelle. Look for Zelle in your banking app.
Must have a bank account in the U.S. to use Zelle. Zelle is an early warning services trademark.
locally owned businesses build strong communities by sustaining vibrant town centers and contributing to local causes. Do your business with these certified South Louisiana businesses.
For over 20 years, Antony's has served traditional Italian dishes in a comfortable old world atmosphere. Reserve our private dining room for your next party or event. Dine in, carry out, or have our signature pizzas and pastas delivered with waiter. Experience Antony's. Oil Center, Lafayette.
Carpet Mills Outlet knows how to put your tax refund to good use. Improve your home with porcelain tiles, vinyl plank tiles, and wood floors. Trust your home improvement to the specialists with more than 40 years of experience. That's Carpet Mills Outlet on University, a quarter mile from Veterans in Karen Crow.
It's back. 4-pound servings of delicious boiled crawfish with potatoes and dip every Thursday and Friday from 5 p.m. until only at King's Truck Stop and Casino, Highway 190 East, Fort Barrett.
King's Truck Stop and Casino. 24-7, my little bit of heaven.
Shop local. Shop certified South Louisiana.
If you haven't downloaded the free 103.7 The Game mobile app, you're missing out on so much. You can not only take Acadiana Sports Station with you on the go, listening to live and local shows, you can also catch up on demand, full shows, sectioned out interviews, plus you can get involved with our rewards club. That means an ability to register to win free prizes, trips, giveaways, and more, and it's all at the touch of your fingers. Just make sure you go to your app store, type in KLWB 103.7 The Game, then you'll be plugged in and ready to roll. The free 103.7 The Game mobile app is presented by Visit Avery Island.
You say tomato, I say tomato.
The famous Clint D says something none of us will agree with.
Back to more top shelf analysis for your drive home. It's Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
The East is completely decided, at least in round one. Got a couple of good games on the Western front tonight. Time to talk about all of that and more. Time to talk NBA playoffs. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, right back in on 103.7 The Game. And out we go to the ARDCO Equipment Hotline, psyched up for our next guest. And we'll welcome back aboard Kurt Heelan. You should check out his work at all times. At Basketball Talk is the Twitter account, NBCSports.com/NBA. Is where he plies his trade. Kurt, how are you today?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me back on, Ben.
You know, it's our pleasure, and I got to have some fun to start. I love the tweet you sent out. I think it says it pretty simply, and it came out right after the big shot last night. Here's what you tweeted to the world. That is one of the greatest shots you will ever see. And yet after the game, a presumably butthurt Paul George said that's a bad shot. Discuss.
Hey, you know what? For all but about two players in the NBA, maybe three, that's not a good shot, right? I mean, like an it's uncontested, but a 39-foot step back is not ideal unless you're Steph Curry or Damian Lillard shot 39% between 30 and 40 feet this year, which is, again, a little bit of a small sample size, but that's enough that you've got to get out and contest that a little bit. Like, he's not afraid of that shot, especially when he's already got 47 points, is completely feeling it. That's just the kind of shot big time players make. And honestly, I mean, they knew this going into the series. Damian Lillard is as clutch a player as there is in the NBA. He is so good in the big moments. He everybody else gets a little tight and their form changes or what has you. Not him. He just keeps plugging away. And, like I said, it's a bad shot for everybody else, but there's a couple guys you better get out on him for that.
How did they manage to do what they did? Kurt, talking about the Portland Trail Blazers beating OKC 4-1 without Yusuf Nurkic, without one of their better big men inside, how have they changed the way they play, and does that make them a somewhat unscouted, if you will, dangerous animal moving forward in the Western Conference playoffs?
Yeah, I think everybody thought that they, including myself, I picked OKC to win that series because Nurkic, for people who didn't watch them this year, he was probably their second best player for long stretches. Like CJ McCollum had some rough spots, and he became Nurkic became the outlet, the guy that they would pass to, not only defended in the paint, but when you trapped Lillard, he was the guy who would get the ball and then kind of make a playmaker play, either scoring or passing from the mid post to the elbow or wherever he was at. Sort of like Draymond Green. I mean, the poor man's version, very different version, but sort of like you know, the Warriors use him. I thought they were in trouble. But what I think what happened is, A, Lillard and McCollum both stepped up and really knocked down their shots. The team defended well. And I think the biggest surprise for me is Enes Kanter played fantastically. And you knew he'd get some score. He's always been able to score and rebound and do inside. But he wasn't a negative defensively. I don't know that they exploited him as well as they could have, but he wasn't a negative defensively. And he just made play after play after play. He was huge for them in this series. And it made up for the fact that they were without Nurkic. And you combine that with the fact that Oklahoma City has some soul searching to do about how this roster is built and what they're going to do going forward. Because this is three straight years running out. I think they've won, three playoff games since Kevin Durant left. They've got some work to do.
Our guest, Kurt Heelan, he's the lead NBA writer, managing editor at NBCSports.com. And we are potentially a couple of closeout games away, right, of having Golden State, Houston, but this time one round earlier. If they both get a W tonight, then they'll play on Sunday for game one. Anything that leads you to believe, Kurt, this year would be different than last?
I think, first off, they believe it. In Houston, they genuinely believe this year is different. And while I'm not picking them, I really think that they may be the best suited team to do it because they've done it, right? I mean, yes, that team was a little bit different last year, but this team is starting to play on that level. And this is a team that was up on the Warriors that, even with that Chris Paul injury, was up at halftime of Game 7. This is a team that believes it can beat Golden State. I think they have a chance. They need a lot of things to go right. They really can't have an off night for their role players. That lack of versatility, just the ability of how many things Golden State can throw at you. And that's, by the way, without DeMarcus Cousins. They can just do so many things for you or against you and throw so many looks at you, and they've got so many good defenders and options. But I still think they win this. But this is really a good series. I think that they've got more than a puncher's chance. I think that they have a legitimate shot, especially if they can sneak in and steal one of those first two games in Oracle.
We go to the Eastern Conference side, and already, we've got our conference semifinals. And you only needed, let's see here, you got Toronto, Orlando that went to five games, Philly, Brooklyn went to five. The other two were sweeps. Did you have an inclination coming in it would be this one-sided for the top four seeds?
I kind of thought it might be. I thought Indiana might try to hit another game, but without Victor Oladipo, they're just not they just don't have the scoring to hang with a good defensive team in Boston. And there just was in the East much more so than the West. There was just a real delineation. There were four elite teams, and then everybody else was chasing them. And a lot of times, you think that. I mean, we thought that right back in December. If you look at the standings, it probably could be those four teams in the second round. They're the best teams. But there's always an injury or something or just a weird upset. Something always upsets that pattern. Not this time. We get the battles we want, and both series are really great matchups just in terms of both the personnel on those rosters and the X's and O's, the chess game that's going to go on. It's going to be a really fascinating series.
People in this neck of the woods, right, that watch Ben Simmons when he was at LSU, they're not going to think too highly of him. So you won't offend if you answer this question and it doesn't go pro Ben Simmons. But when he was referred to last week, I believe by Colin Cowherd, as the most overrated player in the NBA, what would your response be to that? And obviously we understand his athletic abilities. I mean, he's prodigious, but the lack of an all-around game, how do you view him?
I think overrated might be. I mean, I think there's some people, and maybe in Philly, but he has moments. He does some things that are, and you saw some of that down there too, although he's not as much in college as you would like. But he is still a 6'10 ball handling guy who can do a lot. And when he's aggressive, which he wasn't for, their loss in that series, but was for most of it, when he's attacking and, everybody gives him that space to take the jumper and dares him to, when he eats that space up with a drive, he can do a lot of things. And that said, I know Jared Dudley got a lot of heat from Philly fans for saying, in transition, he's a beast in the half court, you can handle him. What Jared Dudley said was literally in every scouting report of the Philadelphia 76ers this year, and I guarantee you it is in the one for Toronto. You have got to keep him. You can't let him get rolling. You can't get him get motion. You've got to put him in the half court and force him to be a little more passive And again, dare him to shoot jumpers, but when he's attacking, he can't do some things. I don't think he's overrated, wildly overrated, but he's got a ways to go before he can lead a team to winning. I'm not convinced that Philly's on that level yet.
Coming down the stretch with Kurt Heelan of NBC Sports on 103.7 The Game. I'm not saying that you do believe Boston will beat Milwaukee, but make the case that the C's can do it. And I have to imagine that starts with a defensive game plan against Giannis.
It does, and they have the guys to throw to them. I actually picked Boston to win this series before the playoffs started, and I'm, you know, too stubborn to back off of my picks now. I think this is a great matchup for Boston in some ways. They do have the athletes, especially if by game three when they go back to Boston, they could get Marcus Smart back. It would be a huge help. But they have, I think you're going to see Al Horford get time on Giannis, especially in the clutch, some other guys. But they have the length. They have the size to kind of both disrupt the paint and the, you know, what Tatum and Brown and all these guys are long and athletic and can bother you on the wings, and they can get out there and challenge the shooters. And Horford is the huge key on the other end. If Boston, I think this is going to be a slugfest. You know, they played right before the end of the season, one of the last games of the regular season, and it was the Bucks won by a point, but neither team broke 100. You're going to see a lot of that. The real key is if Al Horford is picking and popping and knocking down threes and spacing the floor, and Brooke Lopez has to come out of the paint to start challenging him and not letting him have shots, then things open up for Kyrie Irving drives and you know, Jason Tatum slashing to the rim and stuff. And I think things open up for Boston. But Al Horford has to be – he's not their best player, but he is their most important player, and he has got to have a huge series for them. Do that, and they can win this thing.
Before we let you go, got to touch on the local franchise, the New Orleans Pelicans. How is the hiring of David Griffin received nationwide? From the outside looking in, what do you say?
I think nationally it was considered a coup. Like, that is for an organization that wanted to top to bottom, I don't want to say change the culture in a lot of ways, but change the culture in a lot of ways. Wanted to start doing things the right way, starting having a better, improve their reputation in a lot of ways. This was the perfect hire. I don't think he's keeping it. You know, he's going to sit down with Anthony Davis. I don't think anybody actually thinks he's keeping Anthony Davis as much as that would be nice. But sitting down with these agents and how he has returned. I'll tell you, I've heard from people around the league, like, just how much better things seem to be, more professionally things seem to be running, how much more they kind of trust what's going on already. And that's before they bring in, you know, whoever they're going to bring in as the GM and whatever, for whatever process they go through. As he sets up a system, the things he talked about putting money into, you know, hey, we got to upgrade the, put money into the training staff and get really good basketball guys in there and the analytics and the player development. He's saying all the right things. He's the kind of guy who will execute all those right things. And I think, look, nationally, everybody's like, they're on the right path. This is how you get back to being – it's going to take a little while because Anthony Davis's don't grow on trees, but that's how you get back. And I like the path they're on.
Kurt, very much enjoy the work at NBCSports.com. Thanks for taking a little time out, especially during the playoffs. Hope to catch up again soon.
I look forward to it, man. Take care.
Kurt Heelan, again, on Twitter, @BasketballTalk. This joke's probably going to get old soon for you, but if Scott Woodward allows it, you should go on Twitter and follow sports. Again, it's a joke. Don't get all BH about it, all right? Leave your butt hurt at the door. I'll go find some Boudreaux's butt paste. But that was outstanding from Kurt Heelan. And after everything I just said, you might be surprised to know, but there's still some shade to come. And yes, it does involve Damian Lillard, but you better believe I'm not pointing it at him. I'm just noticing something he did. Because number one, you know, it was shade worthy. And number two, it was absolutely freaking hilarious. So we're coming back on the other side, and I'll explain to you exactly what tree I'm barking up. Don't forget, Five Guys Stories and Lies takes my place at 6, and you'll rejoin Astro Launch in progress at straight up 7 p.m. But for the meantime, you've got Bumper to Bumper Sports, and we're live on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7TheGame.com.